Good morning. It is Thursday morning. Parshas Vayakhel, Tavshin Pei Dalet. So we began a Ramban yesterday with the handouts. I want to move away for just a moment from the Ramban, and then we're going to come back to it, because what we want to do this morning is to develop two approaches. Basically, we'll call them the approach of Rashi against the approach of the Ramban. And that will really clarify to us what the bris is all about that the Torah is talking about. Now, I'm going to take you back. You don't have it in your handouts. I'm going to take you back to Parshas Kisisa, last week's Parsha. And after the mitzvah of Shabbos was given in detail, then it says, "Vayiten al Moshe kachas losula daberito," that after Hashem spoke to Moshe, He gave Moshe the two luchas ha'edus, and then the nation saw that Moshe was tardy in coming down, and so on and so forth, and that led to the chet ha'egel. And that's the parsha in Kisisa, which there Rashi says, and this is the big Rashi we've been discussing as well, a mukdim amukha b'torah, that even though when you look at the Chumash, it seems to be in one order, but the sequence really is not exact. And this, the Masa Egel, actually, this Parsha of Kisisa occurred before the Tzivoy, the Mishkan, which is in Truma, okay? Now, how does Rashi know that? This is a question. In other words, usually, it's a Muktim and Mucha B'Torah might be like a last resort. We try not to, you know, rearrange the parshas and unless something is very compelling for us to do so. So why is it so compelling to say that Parshas Truma really came after Parshas Kisisa, that the Mishkan came after the Egel? So there's an interesting Sifsei Chachamim here, and I believe that this Sifsei Chachamim opens up this whole discussion for us. It says the Sifsei Chachamim de Imlo Kein, if that wouldn't be the case, but if the case would be that there was a tzivay on the Mishkan first, and then they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, then Eich Yada Moshe im Nisratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyisrael HaMaisa HaMishkan. Then how did Moshe Rabbeinu know, after the Chet of the Egel, that the Ribbon Shel Olam was appeased by Klal Yisrael on the Egel? How does he know? In other words, in order for there to be Ashras HaShechina in Parashas Truma, in order for there to be a Mishkan, there has to be a full and unconditional kapara. I should see v'lehem Moshe al nidvas ha-mishkan. Right? And there has to be such a complete atonement and appeasement, right, that now Hashem will command Moshe on the Mishkan because He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. Shem eloi nisratz ha-kadosh baruch hu rak al nesinis haluchas li-Yisrael. He says, maybe the only thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam did was He forgave Klal Yisrael on the Chet of the Egel, and He only in terms of giving them another set of luchos. Maybe that's all He did. In other words, there's different levels of relationship that we have with Hashem. If you look in the Shari Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, Shar Aleph Os Mem Beis, the Rabbeinu Yonah learns there the role that tefillah plays in tshuva, right? We know that Shari Tshuva is the handbook for tshuva, right? We learned that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur mostly, but it's not limited to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? A person should always know Shari Tshuva. And he writes over there that even after a person did tshuva and Hashem accepted his tshuva, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is in totally good graces with Hashem. Maybe there was some blemish. Maybe there's some, his relationship is still marred. And therefore, he asked the Davin, and he cites Psukim in Tehillim by David HaMelech, that David HaMelech wanted to say, now that I did tshuva, I want to totally find favor in your eyes as if no avera happened. So, and as we know that in personal relationships, sometimes we have a falling out with a friend, okay, and you say, you know, let's just, you know, it's been a while, and you talk it out, but you don't necessarily always kiss and hug and make up like it was before, there always might be some kind of strain in that relationship. What we strive for when we do teshuva is that we want to erase and eliminate any strain in that relationship with Hashem. So we correct our actions. Yes, we've done something that requires us to change our ways, but you know, Hashem might not totally embrace us like he did before. So we need to dive into Hashem to show that that's where we want to be. So it's about two paragraphs in the Shari Tshuva. Again, it's Shar Aleph Osman Beis. So I'm going to spare you the time now not to read it from there. But that's how I'd like to understand this Sifte Chachamim. The Sifte Chachamim says it's true that Klai Yisrael sinned, and Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim and he davened for the sake of Klai Yisrael. And Hashem responded by giving them the luchos, which is something that he must do, says the Sif Sechem. And why? Except regarding the luchos, and which is evident because Hashem says, luchos avanim, chisel out another two sets, two stones, two tablets. Hashem was compelled to respond that way, mipnei kiyum hadas, in order that Klai Yisrael should have a religion. She actually chosim and adas, and he adas is without the ayin, dot religion. In other words, the Rabbanu Shalom cannot abide that his nation's not going to have a commitment to religion. So, in other words, so the bare minimum that Hashem has to do after Moshe Rabbeinu davens is, okay, so here's another set of luchos, and this is the manual of instruction, so to speak, and this is the Torah, and this is what you need to keep. But how do you know that maybe we did not find favor in Avalasos Gam HaMishkan, Lishkan, Besocho, but to make a Mishkan, which would be just a glorious, glorious, a sign of a glorious relationship, Shehu Chiba Yaseira, that's an abundance of love, Shem Alon Nisratzalus, and maybe Hashem didn't go that far. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows, that this is what compelled Rashi to say chronologically that Parshas Kisisa came before Truma, meaning that we first had the Egel, right? And then we had Truma. Because if we had the Egel and we did this terrible sin, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened for us, and now Hashem responds with Mishkan. So that shows that Hashem totally re-embraces us as we were before. But had the mitzvah of Mishkan been given to Moshe before the sin of the golden calf, right? And then all of that happened, and Hashem says, okay, I'll give you another set of tablets. Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been sure, he would not have been sure that he could proceed with the mitzvah of Truma, with the mitzvah of Mishkan, because maybe that much of an appeasement was not there, and therefore he would not be able to give them the mitzvah of Mishkan. Am I making myself clear? That's how Rashi knows the chronology. So the chronology is, first there was Egel, and then Hashem said, okay, you're back in. You're in like Flynn. Here's the Truma. Here's the Mishkan. Here's the relationship. That's the way Rashi is understanding this. Okay.
Which pasuk was that?
This was back. This is Kisisa, Pasuk Yudches, in Rashi and the Sifse Chacham. It's a pivotal Sifse Chacham here. Okay, so let's remember that's Rashi. Now, the Ramban learns, no, that Truma comes first, the mitzvah of the Mishkan comes prior to the head of the Egel. And prior to the head of the Egel, we already had this mitzvah to build the Mishkan, and then we did the head of the Egel. So now, let me ask you, how does the Ramban respond to the problem that the Sifte Chachamim raises? In other words, the Sifte Chachamim says Rashi wouldn't, according to Rashi, had the mitzvah of Truma not come afterwards, we wouldn't know that the Rebbeinu Shalom would want to continue with the effort of the Mishkan, right, to re-embrace Klal Yisrael on that level. That's the way Sifse Chacham is learning Rashi. Well, the Ramban is learning like that. The Ramban is learning that first we have chronologically the mitzvah of the Mishkan, and then they sinned in the Chet Egel, and then they did Teshuvah, and then Hashem gives him Luchos, but according to the Ramban, how is Moshe Rabbeinu so sure that there should be a Mishkan? Maybe that relationship was scarred forever, just like the Sifse Chachamim suggests. So you hear where I'm coming from? In other words, the same way the Sifse Chachamim says that Rashi was compelled to learn the chronology like he did, because otherwise you'd have problem X, Well, Rashi, the Ramban, is learning the other way, so why doesn't he have problem X? In other words, according to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah to build the Mishkan, then they sin with the Chet HaEgel, then Moshe Rabbeinu davens, gains the Luchos, but how do you know that Hashem still wants him to build the Mishkan even after that? So that's the question that we have to deal with. So now if we have your handouts, we'll get back to So in the handout, page number one, we said that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people, and let's look at the second from the last line in the first column. That happened the day after he came down from the mountain, which is the day after Yom Kippur, when everybody is now busy building a sukkah and picking up the lulav and esrog sets, right? Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the Jewish people and said, "Inyan HaMishkan, this is the Mishkan, right?" And Asher Nitztava B'Metchila, which they were commanded in before Kodem Shibur HaLuchos, before. In other words, all Moshe Rabbeinu now is, he's delivering the commandment to build the Mishkan, which is actually given to him before the breaking of the Luchos. Right, like I told you yesterday, this is a neon lights. This is where the Ramban is going on record to say, not like Rashi, the Ramban is going on record to say that the mitzvah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu preceded the Chet of the Egel. Now listen to what he says. Since Hashem was appeased, and gave the second luchos, it didn't stop there, as the Sifsei Chachamim suggested it could have. But the Ramban said it didn't stop there. V'koras imo bris chadasha sheyelech Hashem bekir bam, and Hashem forged a new bris that Hashem should go in their midst. Now, what is that bris? So I started to tell you yesterday that in the Sefer Beis Hayayin, he's referring to what it says that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the words of the bris when he got the second luchos. But actually, we'll see that it's really something different. But we'll see what this is in just a minute. He says, uviyadua, and now it's, hine chazu lekadmusam ulaavas kelulusam. Then they return to their prior state and to the love of their bridehood that always existed. We were brides of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were the wife of Hashem, a young bride. Hashem loved us. Uchiyadua, in other words, a young bride can mess up, but will she ever find grace with her husband again fully? Like she, Rashi says, if you remember on the pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he ground up the eagle, he gave it to drink like we give a sota, right? A sota is an unfaithful, disloyal wife. I mean, it's hard to gain that trust again, right? And so this is the concern of the Sefer Chacham. How do we know that they regained the trust? And so the Ramban says, no, we totally regain. It's a beautiful thing. Hashem has it in his capacity to embrace us as if nothing happened, so to speak. Should sivok kum uchiyadua. Uviyadua, and it is a viyadua, yeah. Shetia shchina so besochem ke inyan shizivom etchian, the shchina would rest in our midst as it was intended, as it was instructed at the very beginning. Kamosha Omar, as the pasuk says back in Truma, v'asuli shich mikdash shechanti v'sa. Do you see it's as if the Ramban read the Sifsei Chachamim and says, I'm going to respond to that? In other words, don't worry. Everything's God says, we're all good. You know how we say today, we're good. We're good, right? Sometimes you try to apologize to somebody in my day. You know, you spoke it out. You apologize. Today, people don't let you say, we're all good, we're all good. You're welcome, right? No one says, you don't say thank you anymore, you say no problem. Right? There's no you're welcome. There's no, no problem replaced your welcome, right? There's all kinds of things. It's indicative of our culture, right? We don't want to be too expressive, we just want to be very functional. You know, we're all good. Well, tziva Moshe ata and therefore, Moshe commanded the Jewish people to do everything that he was commanded to do. It's not that he said, right? In other words, he understood that that's what Hashem wanted. Okay, so now let's drill down on this. Another. What's that?
What did Hashem command them to
do? To build the Mishkan. Just like when Hashem told them to build the Mishkan before the Chet HaEgel, and the idea was that they're going to have a relationship like a new bride and groom, a loving, loving, special, intimate relationship. So now that's going to all return after the Chet HaEgel. Rashi and the Sifsei Chachamim said, we wouldn't have known that on our own, but for the fact that the mitzvah of the Mishkan Taka did come after the Chet HaEgel. But the Ramban is learning that mitzvah of the Mishkan, it comes back after the Egel, and there's a new Bris Chadash, a new covenant. Now, let's see this. Turn to page number two. This is, everything we're learning today is very foundational here. Now, look at Pasuk Yud. Vayomer hinei anochi kores bris. I am now forging a treaty. Now let me give you the context of that treaty. This is very important. If we turn back, by looking at the clock, I see that we're going to need tomorrow to finish this as well. But if you look back on page, you don't have that actually. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem, so it's in Kisisa, it's Dov, you'd like to take notes, it's Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Tes Zayin. And he said, and one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu says is, V'niflinu ani v'amcha, and I and your nation should be distinct, mikol ha'am asher al pnei ha'adama, from all the nations that are on the earth. We should be distinct. And Rashi, the Gemara actually says in Brachos Dav Zayin that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem that your Shechina should only rest with us and not with any other nation in the world. Right? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu asked, right? Not only did he go from a place where Klal Yisrael was almost annihilated and Moshe Rabbeinu wins the day, but now Moshe Rabbeinu has what we would call chutzpah. Not only, be happy with what you have. You want that the Shekhinah should not go in any other nation? What's wrong with the Asians, right? Let them have some Shekhinah too. There's enough Shekhinah to go around for everybody, right? Right. The Shekhinah, Hashem is infinite, right? So the Gemara Bracha, so Rabbi Yeruchim Lavovitz in his Sefer Chumash in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, he says, what's going on here? Is Moshe Rabbeinu, is he stingy? Is he narrow? Does he have tzoras ayin? Is he very narrow and he's so possessive that he doesn't want Hashem to spread his Shekhinah elsewhere? What's going on with Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, where's this coming from, this request? And so he says that a couple is married and one of the partners says to the other, do me a favor, don't spend time and don't have an intimate relationship with anyone else. Right? Is that being possessive, or that's what the definition of an intimate relationship is? Husband and wife, it would be a compromise, right? If one of the partners went to another mate, to another individual, right? We call that adultery. We call that's the underlying the underpinning of a relationship is that it is exclusive, exclusivity, right? It defines the whole relationship. So Rabbi Yeruchim says that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't being possessive. He wasn't being stingy. He meant to say, Hashem, this relationship that you wanted to have with us in the very beginning, this relationship, it should come back. In other words, because if you're going to spread your Shekhinah with someone else, then it's lacking in the exclusive relationship that we have. He explains it that way. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem. Now, did Hashem respond? Did he or did he not? So now, he did. Because at the end of this, the Yud Gam Amidos, Hinei anochi kares bris, neged kol amcha asen eflos. Pasuk Yud. Hinei anochi kares bris, I am forging a bris, a covenant. Neged kol amcha asen eflos, I will do the niflaos. Now what does niflaos mean? Wonders. What does it mean I will do the wonders? So Rashi had already told us in the pasuk that I read earlier, v'niflinu ani v'amcha, that I and your nation should be distinct. So the word niflinu means separate, like Hashem separated between the cattle of the Jews and the cattle of the Egyptians and the 10 plagues. So v'niflinu means let there be a separation, a distinction between us and the non-Jews. Says Rashi that Hashem says, I would now forge a bris, kares bris what? Alzos, on this request of yours. Es and eflos, lashem v'niflinu, I will make this distinction, shetehiyu muvdolim b'zum mikolamus, that you will be different from all the other nations, shalotisha shchinasi aleim, that I will not allow my shchinah to rest on them. So according to Rashi, this is a beautiful request and a beautiful answer. Let's remember this for tomorrow, because Ramban is going to come back, and he's going to learn something differently altogether. The Ramban learns that the request that Moshe had v'niflinu is simply, make a distinction between us and all the other nations of the world. And Moshe and Hashem respond several psukim later, Hinei anochi kores bris, I will forge a treaty, and that's the way it will be. I will answer, I will accede to your request. There will be no Shekhinah by any other nation in the world, only by Klal Yisrael. That's the way Rashi's understanding. Cliffhanger for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, so in 20 minutes to Friday, we have to conclude this whole inyan. We'll get to the Ramban, we'll get to a Vilna Gaon, and hopefully we'll have clarity by the end of the shir. Have a good day, everyone, and thanks for joining us. He said, you're amazing.